really didn't want him to leave today. Let me see if I can get this thing to work. Check, check. Can you hear me? So everyone out there in TV land can hear me too? Good, good, good. Oh, wait a minute here. I feel like I got too many wires. All right, now we go. I don't need that anymore. Oops. Okay. Well, I'm glad to be here. Am I sounding okay, Inga? Can you hear me? Not Inga. She can't. Can you hear me, Inga? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Joe, can you hear me in the back? Joe, give me a thumbs up, Joe. Joe? He can't hear me. Okay. I'm glad to be here. I get to preach. You get to listen. Then we get to eat. It's a great day. You like my title slide? I've gone well into the 21st century. I have slides. PowerPoint. Look at me. I did this morning. So we'll see how it goes. My title today is, It Can't Be That Easy. What? What can't be that easy? Everything can't be that easy. Following God can't be that easy. Can it? How many people think following God is easy? A couple of you? How many of you think following God is really hard? Really hard. A couple of you? How many of you think it's day by day? Most of us. Okay. Well, I want to read a story from the Old Testament and see what we can gather from that. And then I want to look at something in the New Testament and see what we can gather from that. Okay. Say okay. Say uh-huh. I'm with you. Let's do it. All right, everybody's awake. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time, God, that we have to open up your word. God, and I pray that the things that you have shown me in the last few days, God, that I communicate them clearly, and God, that it is honoring to you. I hope that today we can learn from those who have been before us, God, and we can apply that to our life today. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's start with a Bible verse, or 40, because Old Testament stories are long. We're going to look 1 through 15. Let's read this. This is the New International Version for clarity's sake. So if you have a different version, try to follow along, or you can look up here. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Next slide. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Okay, so catch that right there. Naaman had taken a young girl from Israel. Not actually, I don't think he actually took her from Israel because I don't think they were warring against Israel, but she was a child of Israel, okay? And she served Naaman's wife. So it already said Naaman was a good man. So she was like a handmaiden to his wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Not all the letters are back there, sorry. The letter that the king took to Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel, now fast forward, they made the trek over to Israel. As soon as the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, not to be confused with Elijah, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in rage. You're picturing that right now, aren't you? Why are you picturing that? Because that's something we would do, isn't it? We'll get back to that. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Stop right there. That's a good story, isn't it? You know, the Bible is full of stories like this. Y'all should try reading it. Do you? The Old Testament? Do you read that or do you skip over that part? Some people skip over that part because they think it's old. It's full of just stuff we don't really need today. A bunch of these, thous, laws and stuff like that. But it's full of stories like this. So I challenge you, if you don't read the Old Testament, go ahead and go read it because there's a lot of cool stuff in there. I'm talking like vengeance, wrath of God, pillars of salt, fire from heaven. All the stuff that makes for great movies is actually written down in the Bible. So check it out. All right, let's hop over to my slides. Hit show. First thing, evaluate your situation. So that part on the paper that's empty, let's write this. Evaluate your situation. Where are you at in your life? Well, let's look at Naaman and see where he was. Okay, Naaman, number one, what does the Bible tell us that Naaman was? Well, before that, if we go back in there, if you have your Bible open, look back in there near the first couple of verses, it basically says Naaman was a good guy. Okay, so what do we gather from that? Bad things happen to good people, right? Is it punishment? No, not necessarily. It just happens. The will of God is not punishment. However God has things happening is not done to you to punish you. Some people think it is. Some people think, why did God do this to me? Why is God punishing me with no money, with sickness, with death? Why is God doing these things? That's not how that works. Because right there it says Naaman was a good man, but he had leprosy. I really can't think of anything worse in that time to have and still be alive other than leprosy. Basically, your flesh is falling off your body. So Naaman was a good man. Second thing it tells us is Naaman had resources. Naaman was in a good spot. So he was a good dude and he had position and favor in his kingdom. right? He was the commander under his king. Basically the right-hand guy, the number two guy. So he had everything he wanted, but yet he was stricken with leprosy. What do you think happened? Maybe he just accidentally touched somebody during a war one time and it spread to him. Nothing malicious could have been. I mean, could have been accident. Naaman chose to try and fix the problem. He didn't just say, woe is me, I'm going to die from leprosy. I might as well throw in the towel, lay down and die. He said, I want to fix my problem. And how did he do it? He had a handmaiden to his wife that was from Israel that said, surely if my master would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would be healed. Okay? So evaluate your situation. Know what you got going on. Know if you think that you're right with God. Don't lay down and die. Don't wallow in self-pity. That's the truths that we have right there. So that's where Naaman is. Next slide. Who was Naaman supposed to see? This slide's titled, Go to the Top. So your second main point is called, Go to the Top. Okay? So we evaluate our situation, and we go to the top. Who was Naaman supposed to see? Oh my gosh, we just read this. The prophet. The king wanted him to go see the king, but the little girl wanted him to go see the prophet. Okay? So what happened there? Did somebody get their wires crossed? Did somebody do what they were supposed to do, or did they not do what they were supposed to do? This is interactive, guys. This is not normal Sunday preaching. This is interaction with Gary. We're going to come to conclusions together because I'm not the normal preacher. And I don't have doctor in front of my name. Okay, I'm a farmer. I told you that. I'm just a guy playing another guy playing another guy. Okay? Naaman was supposed to see the prophet. And the king said, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to send some money, some gold. I'm going to juice you up, and I'm going to send you over there. And you're going to go to that king, and you're going to tell him, fix me. And I'm going to tell him in the letter, fix my friend, my number two, my right-hand guy. Now, we talked about movies before. Okay, this is Kirk sending Spock to go get healed. Okay? Top guy, number two guy, Kirk and Spock. Y'all remember? Live long and prosper. Okay, laughter is good. All right. Was the king the true authority? No, thank you, Phil. The king, who was he? Nobody. He's just a king. King, oh, I didn't know we had a king. Oh, I didn't vote for you. You don't vote for kings. King couldn't do anything, could he? Is that the coffee pot going off? I wonder what that is. The king couldn't do anything. Why couldn't the king do anything? The king had no authority. Yeah. So, y'all remember back when Saul was king? Was Saul chosen by God?
No.
Not officially, huh? He allowed it to happen, but that's not who he wanted to be king. Who did he want to be king?
David.
So did Saul like do really well as king?
No.
No. Did David do really well as king? Yeah. I mean, he made mistakes, don't get me wrong. But when you look at the big picture of what God had planned for the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, under David, they flourished. Right? There was probably more money, more gold, more silver, more riches and land and peoples and all that stuff in that time period under King David than we would know what to do with today. So the king wasn't the true authority. Who was the true authority? God. But who was God's man?
Elisha,
the prophet. Who recognized that he was the true authority? The little girl. So somebody recognized that. They passed that on to Naaman. And Naaman doesn't really tell us what he chose to believe at that exact moment. But he went to his boss and he said, I need to go over to Israel. And so his boss said, well, let's write a letter to the king, blah, 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 blah. He didn't say, what exactly did they say? Who'd they tell you to go talk to? So that's a mistake for the king right there, I think. He should have gone to the top. And the top was not the king. The top was God. And God's instrument in that time was the prophet. So that's where he should have gone. Why do we not go directly to the top? Any thoughts? Do we take everything we have to God? Excellent answer. Excellent answer. For those of you in TV land that couldn't hear that, we live on human wisdom. We rely on ourselves. We rely on our own mind. How can I fix these problems? Well, if I do this, if I get this job, and I make this amount of money, and I drive this car, and I own this computer, all of these problems will be fixed. That ain't how it works, folks. That's not how it works. What's the old saying? Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a boat. That's true. Money will fill a gap for a short time. Happiness will be there for a short time. It may not even find the happiness. Having the right spouse, according to ourselves, not according to God, but having the right, quote unquote, spouse may fill the gap for a while. But having the one ordained from God will bring you joy. Having the livelihood that God has picked out for you will bring you joy. And joy surpasses happiness every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Because happiness is not going to last. Happiness is but a glimmer in time. Joy comes from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Joy comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I could get like Pastor Bob. Brothers and sisters, that means you all got to answer, right? That when he does that. Joy comes from the Lord. Joy lives in your heart. And that's something that can't be taken away. Happiness can be taken away when your money's taken away, when your cars are taken away, when your house is taken away. I'm not happy when those things happen. But joy can't be taken away if your joy is in the Lord. They can't take that away. No matter what they do. Who is they? Satan, the world. He can't take that away from you. So my question right there says, why not go directly to the top? What would possess him to go to the king? Well, he was probably ordered to, but he should have gotten there. He said, I need to go see that guy. You know, the prophet guy. That's what he should have done. What's the next slide, Lalani? The solution. So I've given you two things. Right? What was the first one? Evaluate your situation. Second thing, go to the top. Go to God. Third thing, the solution. It can't be that simple, can it? Didn't I ask you earlier how many think that living the way God wants us to is simple? A couple of us raised our hands. How many think it's really hard? A couple of us raised our hands and everybody else was pretty much day by day. I got news for you, folks. The answer is simple. The problem is right here. It's not in the Bible. It's not in God. It's not in what he lays out. What happened in the story? You're like, what part? And I'm like, yeah, the whole thing. So he goes to Elisha. What does Elisha do? Does he come out and wave his hands and say, "Thou shalt be healed"? No, that doesn't happen. He says, "Hey, Steve, go tell that guy, take his stuff over to the Jordan River, wash 7 times, and he'll be fine." And Elisha, or Naaman was like, "Huh? Steve, what? That can't be right. He's got to come out here, wave his arms around, pull out the stick of God, wave it around me, smack me with it, pour some juice on me. He's got to do something that really means something." Isn't that what we think? How many of you guys are like that? I'm like that. I think we all are. Wake up in the morning, my back hurts, and I say, "God, I need a miracle." And he's like, "I invented ibuprofen. I mean, take it." But we think it can't be that simple. Now, I'm not saying ibuprofen is going to fix everything. Don't take me wrong. But what I am saying is that God has allowed man to come to all these modern medical miracles for such small problems as just, you know, normal joint pain for getting old. Tylenol and ibuprofen, wonders. In this situation, he said, through Elisha, "Go dip yourself in the river Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed." Naaman was like, "Nope, I'm mad now. This guy, I drove all this way on my camel and my horse with my chariots for have him tell me to go get in the nasty river when I could have gotten the good river at home." Isn't that what he said? That's what the Bible said. And we do that. We say, "God, I need you to fix this problem. I need you to take care of this." And God's like, "I got it. I got it. No problem. Do this." And then what do? "God, I'm not doing that. I'm not giving that money to that charity. God, I'm not going to go give that person a ride. I'm late for work. God, I'm not going to cook dinner for these people that I know are ungrateful. God, I'm not going to go give my time. I got other things to do on Saturday. God, I'm not going to teach Sunday school. I'm no good at it." Why? Why do we do it? It's that simple. It is that simple. If God puts it in front of us for us to do, if we would but do it, God will bless and honor what we do. But if we don't do it, why would he bless us? Why would he do what he said he's going to do if we don't want to partake in what he's got going on for us? Right? If we fight him tooth and nail and we beat our head up against the wall and we say, "We're not going to do that this time, God." Because that's what we do. And I'm not saying you, not me. I'm not leaving myself out of that. I do it too. I'm probably worse at it than you are. Why do we do that to ourselves? So what did Naaman say? He said, "I'm out of here. I'm gone. Going back to my land, I'll use my river, I'll use my stuff, I'll see if it works." Isn't that what he pretty much did? So he headed out that way, and then what happened? One of the smart guys that was with him said, "Master, you know, if he said to do something greater, would you have done it? If he would have said, go down there, grab 7 buckets of water out of the..." He didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing. This is Garyology here, okay? "If he would have said, get 7 buckets of water out of there, boil it in a fire, put 3 rocks in each bucket, you know, grab some elderberries and throw them in there, and, you know, stir the pot every hour on the hour, and then, you know, get the camel to come over there and lick the bowl, and then take the bowl and dump it on top of you. Would you have done that? Well, yeah. I mean, there's magic in that. That's what we think. It's got to be magical stuff. It's got to be something epic proportion to be from God and solve our problems. I didn't know if I wanted to do this, but I want to tie some stuff in here, okay? Nobody get mad and get up and leave, because you'll hurt my feelings. All right? I'm about to step out and embark on sacred ground. All right? What's happening Tuesday? Oh, a big deal. But I heard it said 4 years ago, and I'm not saying one way or the other. Some of you know how I feel about stuff, so I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I just want to say this. I heard it said 4 years ago by somebody who was a fairly mature Christian that I thought, the world's going to end if this man gets in there. And I'm not talking about who you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about what we got. This world's going to end if that man gets in there. Well, he got in there. The world didn't necessarily end, but it's sure on fire. But what I'm getting at is we all thought and we all think of different things that are going to happen when people get in power. But folks, I got news for you. It doesn't matter who wins, because God is in control of all that. And you and me and Pastor Bob and the President of the United States and the King of England, not one of us is powerful enough to make something happen that God didn't want to happen. Everything that happens happens because God wants it to happen. You cannot believe the Bible and what it says in the Bible and think that God doesn't have his hand in all of it. So whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's George Bush, Ronald Reagan, George Washington himself, doesn't matter who. The Lord God Almighty controls it all. And he is God today. He was God then. He'll be God tomorrow. He'll be God 1,000 years from now and an infinite number of years from now. And you and me, my friends, we don't have the power to sway any of that. I will tell you this, though. God does call us to strive to be holy. Now, myself, I'm going to tell you what my personal conviction is. I don't see how God's people can on Sunday proclaim Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of my life. And what I'm about to say doesn't endorse one candidate or another. But when you look at down the line what their policies are, whoever, how in the world can we as Christians vote on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day you vote for things that are contrary to what the Bible tells us we have to believe to be a follower of God? We can't do that in your heart. You have to let God speak to your heart. You have to be willing to be open to that. And that's not candidates. That's not parties. That's positions. God calls us to be his people, right? Right. Not right wing, left wing. Right. Righteous. In your heart, you have to look for what is righteous. Naaman was a good man. Sometimes they use righteous man. Sometimes they use that. I don't think he knew God. We're going to talk next week about what happens after this story, because that part is going to be cool. Because Naaman, I'm just going to say it now because it matters. Naaman basically tells Elisha after he gets fixed. He goes back. He wants to give him everything he's got. He wants to give him all this stuff. And Elisha's like, I don't need any of that stuff. Keep it. And Naaman says to Elisha, remember me. Say a blessing for me. For when I go back to my home country and I have to go with my king into his temple, I know that Yahweh is the Lord God, the only true God. He says, say a blessing for me because I know and I believe in Yahweh. I don't believe in the other gods. I believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel. But I got to go back home and I got to be in my land and I got to do what they say I got to do. But in my heart, I know Yahweh is true God. Folks, that's where we're at. We know that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the Father, the Godhead of the Trinity, he is the Lord God. Not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not Muhammad, not Allah, not any of that, but God. And there's so much coming at us from all these different directions that say, yeah, that's one way to heaven, but this is another way. That ain't how it works. You either believe the Bible or you don't. You can't on Sunday say, I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and I believe everything in that book. You can't do that and turn around on Tuesday and say, yeah, I'm okay with these things happening. Can't do it. Search your heart. Know in your heart that you're doing what God wants you to do. Not what man wants you to do. Not what your friends want you to do. Not what some paper tells you to vote. Because I'm not telling you to vote for any specific person. We're not going to have a perfect person either. But look at what drives the things that matter. Okay? Money doesn't matter. Fame doesn't matter. Notoriety doesn't matter. But the principles that Jesus says, they do matter. And I don't want to be part of what doesn't matter to God. Freedom matters to God. Because with freedom, we are able to send missionaries overseas. Right? With freedom, we're allowed to earn money and spend that money the way we want to spend it and give it to our church, give it to charitable organizations. With freedom, we're allowed to protect the innocent. With freedom, we're allowed to say Jesus is Lord and not get our head cut off. Do we have another slide, Leilani? Let's go to that one. So, in conclusion, what can we learn? Number one, use the right tool for the right job. Anybody ever built anything here? Mr. Larry has. Anybody ever taken an engine apart on a car? No? Yeah? Anybody ever taken a car apart completely and just be like a stack of metal left? Yeah? In the old days, people used to do it by themselves. Now they got people that do that for them. That's where I work, called a body shop. You would not believe the stuff that goes in cars. I'm talking wires and computers everywhere. How they work is amazing. Because it used to be not like that. It used to be, we got an engine, we got a transmission, we got a battery, and we got metal. And it runs. What makes a PosiTrack work? It just does. Use the right tool for the job. Gary, what's that mean? As a you know, for what we're talking about right here. Well, you can't talk about things that aren't of God and try to lead someone to God. That ain't how it works. I told you I'm a farmer. You can't plant corn using cabbage seeds. Right? Y'all ever seen that movie Secondhand Lions? Man, that's a good movie, isn't it? Robert Duvall, Michael Caine. That's some good acting right there. And they planted all these vegetables, and they're reading it, and all that stuff was coming up, and they said, wait a minute, give me that. And they pulled up the thing, and they're looking, and they're like, that's supposed to be this, carrots. And it looks the same as the one next to it. And they pull that up. What's this? Blah, blah, blah. All these different vegetables. They all look the same. It was all corn. You can't plant seeds of love, of faithfulness, gentleness, peacefulness, self-control. You can't plant those seeds with anger, with bitterness, with strife, with disrespect. Can't be done. That's why the fruits of the Spirit are what they are. God doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are sometimes joy, sometimes peace, patience, along with a little bit of bitterness mixed in. Doesn't happen that way. When you grow stuff, you don't want weeds in your vegetables. Don't overcomplicate and don't lose faith. All of it is about our faith. Do we have faith that God said, do it this way, and it's simple? If Naaman would have had faith right off the bat to go walk down to the Jordan River, dunk in there 7 times, and be clean, if he just would have done that right away instead of starting off back towards Damascus where he was from, looking for the rivers over there because he thought, well, my rivers are better than your rivers, he would have gotten healed a little bit quicker. But Naaman did realize the error of his ways. Made his way back to the Jordan River, dunked in it 7 times, did what the prophet Elisha told him to do, and he was healed. And folks, God has that for us too. If we would listen, do the things that he wants us to do, no matter how small or how big, he's got it for us. And I'm not saying it's a name it, claim it thing. Don't confuse me there. My name's not Mr. Schuler. I don't have a nice robe, some big old glass cathedral. It's not what I'm getting at. Not all of your problems are going to go away. But if God tells you, sometimes through wise counsel, sometimes through music, songs, sometimes through the most unlikely of places and circumstances, if God tells you, this is what I want you to do, if we don't do it, you can't expect him to bless it, because that's not what he's telling you. He's telling you to do it. But if you do it, you better strap in. Better put on that seatbelt and hold on. Because if we, the people of God, start doing what God asks us to do, what's going to happen? The power of heaven will be unleashed upon this planet at a rate at which we could not believe it could be done. It's going to happen one way or another one day, but I believe that God will bring a lot of blessings to a lot of people if people would just do what God asked them to do. Don't you? That's where we say, yes, sir, amen, uh-huh, okay, I got it. Let me tell you something, folks. We don't win football games by going, yeah, well, we might run down there and try to score a touchdown. That ain't how we win football games. We win football games by rallying everyone together and by saying, we're going to take that ball, we're going to run down there, we're going to smash everything in between us and that, and we're going to put the ball in the end zone right over top of the team in red and white or golden red because we don't like them, right? Because we're wearing a different color. We're wearing crimson. That's different than red and gold. Red and white. And white. We're talking real football here. Okay? I want to read you Luke 16, 14 and 15. I don't have it on the thing. Let me grab this Bible. This is our tie-in. What time is it? Well, yeah, but I want to know. Oh, man. I went like 2 minutes over. Not really. They want me to go longer because they want to cook more stuff. Luke what?
16.
Luke 16. I can't read that back there without my glasses. I can't read up here with my glasses on. I'm falling apart. Luke 16, 14 and 15. Here we go. Here's some New Testament wisdom for you, okay? Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. Background, what's Jesus doing right here? He told a parable about money, a parable about being faithful. So the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men. But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." That's kind of a summation right there. Basically what Jesus said, all the things that you, Mr. Pharisee, all the things that you think are good in the sight of men are detestable in the sight of God. What does the Bible says? What does the Bible say? There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it will bring him death. That's pretty much what that just said, isn't it? The things of man, the things of this world, the things of government, the things of television land, the things of the education system. Those are all things that seem right to men. Do this and you're going to be all right. Do this, you're going to be all right. But in the end, that will bring us what? Death. I'm not talking necessarily about a physical death. I'm talking about a spiritual death. The things of the world don't lead to God. The things of the world lead to death, destruction, and hell. Don't ever let anybody tell you that these young kids today don't preach about hell, because I just did. I'm a young kid. I'm only 48. That's, you know, pretty young. Guys, I'm with you. I'm in the battle too. I'm not exempt. I'm not excluded. I'm not some super Christian. I make mistakes every day. Say things I'm not supposed to say. Do things I'm not supposed to do. Eat things I shouldn't eat. But God showed me this week that we all can do better. And it starts right here in your own life. So my challenge to you is don't be like the world and things that detest God. Be like Jesus, something honoring to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry. Do we need to pray and have an invitation?
Yes.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
You think it was that good, Phil?
Exactly.
Whew, thank God. Let's pray. God, thank you that, God, we can learn from people like Naaman. God, that just because something is what we see as small and inconsequential, God, that you have mighty power and you have abilities that we can't even fathom to make all things work together for you that love the Lord. God, I pray that today each and every one of us here will take something from this word, God, that you will allow us to reach someone, God, that doesn't know you. God, give us an opportunity. Let us be your servants. And may we be good at it. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Phil's going to come down to the front. We're going to sing a little bit and then we'll be done.